everything, Lord, that we have is of you. Everything that we get to enjoy, Lord, we thank you, Father. It's from you, Lord Jesus. It's a gift from you, and we want to praise you for that. We thank you for the love and the joy and the peace. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We love you, Lord, for the hunger that we have. We have a hunger in our heart that there's something real that we get to connect with and be a part of, and we want to praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the calling in our hearts, for the deep calling out, and there's a deep there to respond, and something of substance, Lord. Lord, we don't want anything but what has substance to it, Father. We ask your blessing now on this time together, that you would be here and that we would recognize your presence. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many loves him with all your heart? What a great Lord that we have and a great Father that we can be in relationship with. If you have your Bibles, we want to begin with Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And we're going to read that passage, and then we have a couple other verses to read. But I'm going to take a thought tonight as we approach God's throne, that it could be something applicable we can use on a daily basis. Amen? So beginning with, we're just going to read verse 1 there. As you know, there's a lot surrounding it, all of chapter 7 and the rest of chapter 8. It's such a beautiful transition for us to go from kind of a legalistic way of serving God. And in every sense of religion, there's a lot of legalism out there, right? Because you have to follow the rules in order to be saved. But here we learn, Paul says, no, that's not it at all. There's grace. Don't forget about grace. And then he transitions here in Romans 8, 1. So it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How many here is in Christ Jesus? Just raise your hand. How many here? Raise your hand. Oh, I guess there's no condemnation. Okay. So is anybody feeling condemnation tonight? Don't worry. It's only a feeling. It's not a fact. The fact is there is none. You can't be judged. It can't be. It's impossible. Jesus already got judged for you. So who do not walk according to the flesh? See, according to your own efforts to try to be saved, that's already solved. But according to the Spirit. You're walking according to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's grace. You may be seated. Amen. Tonight, I want to start a Living Fully series. I want to start on just really dealing with this thought of let's live to the fullest. Amen. Living fully. Yes. Living fully. We're gonna just live to the fullest. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Live to the fullest. We all have different impediments in our lives. We all have different challenges we have to face. But many of us struggle to live fully because a lot of times we blame those challenges. We blame those things that seem to hinder us. I can't live fully. I got to deal with all these things. You know, we struggle with things and we let those things hinder us from doing what God called us to do. Not live according to the flesh, but live according to the Spirit. That means live fully. Live with all your might. Hallelujah. It's a gift from God. We get to live without condemnation. We get to live in freedom. So we should live fully. It's like old habits. You know, we've been in Egypt a long time. He delivered us. He sent a prophet. He sent a word. He sent the blood. He sent everything. He delivered us. But we still, now that we're free, we have to find something that we're entangled with. Right? Because we're used to that. We should be entangled with something, right? This is the mindset. It's a struggle. And it's sad. I think of Naomi, you know, my niece, over there with that big smile on her face. Life's not easy. It's challenging. But she lives every day like it's the most beautiful day on earth. It's amazing. Why don't we take a lesson from Naomi? Can we do that? Would that be all right, Naomi? Great. And if you watch, when I'm preaching, she'll copy me. So she's preaching too. She's like the other preacher in the building here. She doesn't let stuff, I mean, yeah, there's times when it gets overwhelming. But really, majority of the time, you watch, you be around her, she is just living life to the fullest. In spite of everything else. What a lesson we can learn. Amen. And I just want us to really take this word, N-O-W, now. Because, listen, the truth of the matter is some of us live in the past. You're sitting right here and you got thoughts in your mind going, oh, rats, I forgot to turn off the water. I got stuff at home. Why didn't I do this? Messed up today. Last week, oh, last month, oof, I can't believe. Right? I mean, we live in the past. We sit down to eat a meal with family and we're in the past. We're thinking of the regrets, the failures. We're thinking of things that fell apart, the pain, stuff people did to us, wasn't called for, that we're not really over it. And in the end, we have this result of feeling a sense or a level of depression. The past, if you live in the past, you will get depressed. There's a lot of good in the past, but there's just enough negative to shadow it over, and you can feel so downtrodden. And I want to take this thought tonight to bring you out of the past. Even if I'm going to get you out of it with a crowbar, I'm going to bust you out of the past and bring you to the present. Does that make sense? And some people are in the future. They're just constantly going, can't even sleep at night because they're so filled with anxiety. I struggle with that. Anxiety, anxiousness, worry, you know, hope it doesn't all fall apart. You can't even sleep at night because if you do, what if you wake up and everything's collapsing? People live in the future filled with anxiety. No wonder we're on drugs. Right? We got to take meds. And sometimes it's needed. You need medicine for certain things. I get that. But if we would just take the gospel, the medicine of God's word, and just start learning how to apply it. I want to try to give some practical things tonight too. But how to apply it, we need to be living in the present. And not just living in the present, but embracing the present. Now I'm going to explain to you why I believe we should really embrace the present. And then we'll get into the hows. But why is more important than hows will come later. So the reason is because in the present is peace. Think about it. Right now you're sitting here. Are you being shot at? Is there a nuclear warhead going to land on this building right now? Is anything bad going on right now? Right now you're sitting here listening to me. Nothing. Everything's fine. Now, it might have just been a little bit ago today, you thought, I don't even know if I can make it to church. Everything's going crazy. Everything's in turmoil. There might have been a little bit, maybe yesterday you were thinking, I don't know what's going to happen because by Friday, something's coming that I've got to deal with. So you're not even thinking about Wednesday or even where you're at right now because you're way in the future. Like I said before, you sit down to a meal. How many times do we sit down to a meal with each other? And if you haven't learned yet to put your devices away, then that's your problem because that's something you just got to learn to do. Maybe that's a practical step. But so many people are like, oh, I got to get on their phones and mess around. When you got a loved one sitting right in front of you, we are privileged to not only sit down with someone we care about, but even if you're alone, you get to sit down and eat a meal and enjoy every single taste. But how many times have you, just talking about sitting down to eat, how many times have you sat down to eat and just said, I got to get this done so I can go on to the next thing? Don't enjoy every bite. You're not really, it's something you have to do. We've got to start slowing down into the present moment and embrace that moment and start thinking about what a blessing it is that I have this minute, this moment, this moment in this journey I'm in. You're in a journey, I get that. But why not enjoy the journey? We'll get to that a little bit more, but I just want to speak on that. And the reason why I'm dealing with this is because I performed a wedding recently for Chris Cardozano's son. You know Brother Chris. His son recently got married to just a beautiful girl. She's a Jewish background, but has been learning to embrace the Christian walk. So at any rate, I had sent the wedding vows to them, and they went over it, and she sent it back and said, hey, could you add a couple words? It's up to you. It's your choice. And I actually put them in there because I really liked it. I liked what she said. And I'm going to share with you tonight what it is, what she shared, what she said, because I thought, and it fits her because this her personality, her name is Carly, and her personality is she is a free spirit. You know, she just kind of, she said that, you know, he keeps her grounded because he's very, Anthony Cardozano is very grounded and very, you know, driven, and he knows where he's going, and she's a free spirit. But anyway, it was a really great wedding. But she said, she added this, and I went ahead and went through it. It says, nothing is easier than standing here and saying these words, in other words, the vows and so forth. And nothing is more difficult than living them day by day. When you love someone, you do not love them all the time in exactly the same way. That's impossible. Yet, that is what most of us expect. We forget the ebb and flow of life and of love and of relationships. We insist on permanence or duration or continuity. But in love, as in life, the only stability is in change, in growth, and in freedom. Therefore, what you promise today must be renewed and reaffirmed tomorrow and all the tomorrows to come. The only real security is not in owning or possessing, not in demanding or expecting, not in hoping even. Security in a relationship lies neither in looking back to what was in nostalgia nor forward to what it might be in dread or anticipation, but living in the present relationship and accepting it as it is now. I thought those were pretty powerful words. I don't know if she got them from somewhere else, but I like those words, and it kept, you know, this was last weekend, and I just kept rolling, and it's been rolling and rolling in my mind. I kept saying, Lord, I really feel like I come up short on some of this. Not just in relationships, but just in life. Because we have so much on our plates. We have so much to do. We're so busy. And a lot of times we don't even want to slow down because we start thinking about the past. But really, it's right in that middle, that place where now is, that actually that's where eternity exists. Because eternity isn't about past or future. It's here. Right, Brother James, like you said, we're eternal beings. We're connected to an eternal being. He's always in the now. Go through your New Testament. Do a search on the word now, just in the New Testament, and start reading every time the Apostle Paul and the different ones share a thought about the word connected to the word now. It's very powerful. I have another one in here, but that one there I find very, very wonderful. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are currently, presently in Christ. I want you to enjoy your present life right now, even while you're sitting right here. Because if you can learn to do that here, we're going to do it again and do it again. You're going to start putting a habit together of a practice of living your life fully right now. Does that make sense? Now, one time I was out helping somebody get insurance for their mortgage protection and sitting down with this gentleman, and it was sort of a sad scenario because he had two casts. He had casts on both feet, crutches. And I said, what happened to you? He says, you'll never believe it. He said, if I remember right, I'm trying to think of when it was, but there was a bad storm. It might have been that October storm, might have been another one, but there was that bad storm where the snow came and all these trees broke down. Anyway, there was a tree on his property with a big, thick limb that broke in half and landed in the road. And it's a dead-end road. It hit the road, and then the rest of the road is his road. There's one or two other houses, but it was like a cul-de-sac. But because it's his property, the town came and they said, you got to remove that limb. So he got his chainsaw and he got his ladder and he got up in the tree and he's cutting away, and you know the rest of the story. He fell out. And he landed on both heels and he split one heel and he broke the ankle on the other foot, and he had pins and two casts on both feet. I mean, it was a mess. And he was talking to me about how his business, he's an auto mechanic. He says, if I'm not at work, my business goes under. He says, I got to work every day or I'm in trouble. And he says, my brother works with me, but then, you know, he wants me working on his vehicles and he wants me to do it for free. And that's what happens. When you're a mechanic, all the family expects you to do it for free. And I've heard this story from other mechanics that I've known through other business I've done, as you know. But the thing is he was going through all that. We took care of business. And then I just looked him in the eye and I said, you ever get the feeling that when a lot of bad stuff happens, like what you're going through, maybe God is trying to talk to you? He got real serious. He says, yeah, I've been thinking about that. So we went through it, and I took the Bible, and I shared the story with you before. I took the Bible and says, I want to tell you a very simple story about this Bible. And I went through the Old Testament's God above us, the Father, New Testament's God with us, Emmanuel, the Son, and so it's all about God wanting to come closer to us, relationship with us. And I said the New Testament, I said, what do you think that is? Well, he said, it must be God in us. I said, you got it. That's exactly it. Now, he had kind of a Pentecostal background, so he knew that. And I said, think back when you were little. How many siblings do you have? He says, I'm one of 11. I said, well, you got me beat. I'm one of 9. So I said, think back of when you were a kid, when you were just a child. Do you remember running around in the backyard with your brothers and sisters, not a care in the world, nothing to worry about, just loving life? And he had tears coming out of his eyes. He says, yeah, I remember it. I said, that God wants to bring you back to that. God is trying to bring you back to a place where you're safe again. You're trying to do this all on your own. I said, do you want that to happen? He said, yes. We prayed right there. He accepted the Lord right there on the spot. He's been reading his Bible. So I share that with you because that little part of that story about, do you remember when you were a child? When you were all children. Now, some of us had a rough childhood. It might not be able to do this as easily, but you can still find moments. Even if you had a difficult childhood, you can go back. You can still find times when there were times in your life where you didn't care about nothing. You weren't worried about the future. You just lived. And the days were long and warm and wonderful, and you just enjoyed life. What happened to that? Where did that go? I know. You're looking at me like, Brother Elijah, we got a rapture coming. We got a millennium. We're gonna do that later. God wants you to do that now. There is now no condemnation. There is now no fear. There is now no worry. The only time you're worrying because you're not living in the now. Physically, you're now, but mentally, you're off into the future. Or mentally, you're stuck in the past somewhere. But if you're living today, I'm telling you right now, then there's nothing to fear. You become as a little child. Until you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is full of little children who do not have a worry in the world. Sounds impossible? It's tough because of the way we've been so trained. But it's time for us to adapt to it. Either way, maybe do one, then do the other one. The Shunammite woman had her only son. God blessed her. She prayed. She begged God. She was, I think, older or whatever. She had a son. He was 12 years old. You know the story. He was out working in the field. Such an amazing relationship with he and his dad. And, you know, bar mitzvah. You get to work with your dad. You enter your dad's business. First day on the job, he dies. Heat exhaustion. He died. He got, something happened to him with the son. And, of course, she does a few things, sends somebody, and then finally goes herself. She made the determination to go herself. Yeah, that's what it was. And she went to get to Elisha, the prophet. Because somehow she knew, if I can get to where the word is, I'll be okay. I just need to get to where the word is. There's times, you know, when things get a little rough for me and stuff goes on. I mean, it's every day that I read the Bible. It's every day that I want to listen to God's servant. But there's times when things are just tough. I just have to stop everything and just put something on and get to that voice. I don't know if you're that way, but there's something about just hearing the voice. I don't care if it's good evening, friends. I don't even care if I hear just that. For some reason, it's no different than the Shunammite woman who got to Elisha. It's a normal thing. When people had difficult things going on in their lives, they got to Moses. Moses helped them. Elijah, same thing. All the different prophets, somehow God could use him. Jesus was the same way. He was a prophet, but he was God. That was the difference. But we have a voice in our day. Hallelujah. If things get difficult, get to it. And be careful, because sometimes we just play it and we have it in the background. That's okay. But sometimes we become accustomed to the voice and it loses that special thing. Make a concentrated effort to take a break from everything and move into the now and have that voice there. It's a totally different world. Amen? So when she got there, of course, her son was dead, back at the home, She had laid him on the prophet's bed, and she made that journey to him. And as soon as she got there, he said, how's everything? And she says, all is well. It's not the answer you would expect, but she knew as long as she could get in the presence of the man of God, all is well. It's okay, because she's in the now. She's not worried about the past or the present or, the future. She's in the present right now. I am right where I need to be, and this is right where I'm supposed to be, and this will bring the results. I'm not even going to worry about the future now because I'm right where I'm supposed to be. So everything works out. And that's what God is trying to do, is to get us to remember that when the wicked comes from the left or from the right, or the arrows are fired at you in the night or whatever it might be, don't worry. Under the shadow of the Most High God, the mighty God himself, under the shadow of his wings, we can hide. There's a security there. If we run into the name of the Lord, which is a high tower, that is safety, and it's present tense all the time. He is the eye of the storm. Do you believe that? If you're in the eye of the storm, you're okay. You're protected. That's all that matters. So there's another one in Romans. So we didn't even have to get out of Romans to go through all the now verses and passages, but this was another one. Romans 15:33. I really like this. It says, Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So I love that, because in that now, in that present tense, when you can calm yourself down, peace comes. Peace that passes all understanding. It is in the now that we are truly living. It is in the present tense that we truly find peace. It is in this now. Do you believe that? In this now that we truly, truly experience thankfulness. I started thinking about this a lot. If you stop just to listen to yourself breathe, just to feel breath coming into your body, I don't know if you think about this stuff. This sounds really crazy, but when you breathe in, you realize that all these different parts of your body, organs and everything that are inside of your body, have to adjust and make room. Everything's in motion in the present breath. Just 1 2-second breath, 3-second breath, whatever it takes, you're breathing in. All these muscles are active. And life, it's like life is coming into your body right then and right there. That's amazing. When you're coming, today, what was it, 95 degrees, 103 degrees, all kinds of warnings out there about heat and the level of ozone was very high. Trying to warn everybody. But here's the thing. You get really thirsty when it's hot like this, humid like this. You get thirsty, right? And you just guzzle water and you just move on. You don't think about it. See, I get to exercise. Thanks, Sister Sharon, you reminded me. See, I get to do that. Anybody want to share? He has his own. Yeah, Brother Tom, he likes to share normally. But do you ever drink a gulp of water and just feel it going into your body? You never think of that, right? We don't normally think of that. I'm thirsty. Start figuring out, and I want this to be the practical part of this. Start stopping yourself in the moment and just enjoy what's going on right around you. And I want you to make notes of this, because I want you to think on several levels. When you start finding yourself dillying around in the prison house of the past, I want you to just catch yourself. Be aware. Say, wait a minute. What am I doing back there? I don't belong there. I'm not in Egypt. I'm free from there. And bring yourself present immediately. Take those opportunities. Bring yourself present. And sometimes you don't even know you're in the past. But what you do become aware of first is you start realizing, I feel a little negative. I feel kind of down. I feel sort of lousy. I feel kind of like something, I failed something somewhere. And then you start going, oh, this is why, because I have these thoughts coming in my mind about stuff from the past. So catch yourself and bring yourself right to the present. Take that as an opportunity. Don't just bury it. Don't just throw it out of your mind. Take that as an opportunity. You're going to change a habit. and move yourself right to the present. Does that make sense? Or if you find yourself run off into the future and stressing about the future, because some of you are more apt to go that way and some of you are more apt to go the other way. Some of you are both ways. But if you're finding yourself in the future and you're stressing and you're worrying and you're having anxiety, catch yourself, know what you're doing, and bring yourself back. I'm going to tell you what happens here. Your feelings will follow your thoughts. In fact, your feelings are fruits or manifestations of your thoughts. So really, your thoughts control your feelings. How you feel is not because somebody did something to you or because the universe dealt you a bad set of cards, or you know how people think, right? Everything, the world is against me, or I'm having a rotten day, so I feel rotten. No, you get to control your feelings by controlling your thoughts. And if the Bible says, think on these things, anything that's pure, lovely, beautiful, positive, all those things that might have good, that you could give good thoughts to, think on those things. As you're thinking on those things, it's going to bring you, your emotions and everything, into that place. You have the power of doing this. I want you to catch this for just a second. The first pole is really about digging into the past. The second pole is really about digging into the past. Both poles in Brother Branham's ministry went to people's past. But the third pole is the present. You think it's the future, but it's really the present. Because if you live in the present, you'll get to where you're supposed to be in the future. And happily. Jesus was heading toward the cross. Nobody could trade for that journey. I wouldn't want to do that journey. But that was my journey. He took my journey for me. If I had taken that journey, it would have been just total blackness for me, no hope whatsoever. But the Bible says that Jesus faced the cross with joy. Isn't that amazing? How in the world could he take that journey? We know he suffered. We know he was in pain. We know he went through. There's all those other emotions. But in the core of himself, the Bible says he had joy for things that were set before him. Not the cross, but what was beyond the cross. The cross was a purchase. That's not always easy to purchase. That's a little bit painful. But it's what you get from the purchase. Right? Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus was joyful about. But his joy was manifesting in a certain way within the journey. He was embracing every step of the journey. Sometimes it gets tough. Sometimes it gets hard. But embrace it anyway. Just be thankful that you're alive. Be thankful that you're living. Be appreciative of every minute of every day and of every person in your life. So number one, when you're dealing with past or future, learn to bring yourself to the present. And enjoy that present moment for what it is. Have joy in the journey, in other words, right? We as believers, we're focused so much on destiny. We're very focused on, we're predestinated, destiny. We're thinking destiny, you know, we're always focused on that. And then the journey is sort of misery. I just got to get through this journey so I can get to the destiny. But the problem is your journey is not reflective of your destiny. If you understand what I'm saying, the way you're going through your journey sometimes doesn't reflect to me, doesn't manifest to me what your destiny is. If your destiny is whether I live or die, to live is Christ, to die is gain, either way, I am blessed. That ought to be the way. This is how Paul said it when he was writing from prison, knowing that he could be capital punished, dead. In the next few days, he said, if I die, then it's gain for me. If I live, it's Christ. Hallelujah. Either way, it's all good. Do you understand that? I know I come up so short on some of these things because I'm so driven toward the future, driven toward the future. We all are. We tend to be around the ranks of the end time truth, futuristic. And it's been hard because we thought the future was going to happen in 1977, you know, or 1984, 1990, whatever, you know. And here we are in 2018. This is why people give up on the journey after a while, because the journey is so tough, because we're so in the future, we forgot to enjoy the moment that you get to walk with Jesus. We forgot about Jesus who's walking with us. Great things are happening in the journey itself, all right? So, and I want to pull that because it's because we are a word-based bride. Do you believe that? We're a word-based people. So in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning, notice that's the past. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now watch this right here. This word with, the Word was with God. It is not the Greek word para, which means to be alongside. It is the Greek word pros, which means to be toward. It's a very strange word, but when something is stationary, then it does simply mean with, but it means with in a different kind of setting. In other words, the Word, or Christ really, but you could say the Word, it's fine. Either way, the Word or the Lord Jesus, who we think of as the man who walked with shoe leather and along the pathways there in Jerusalem and Israel. Either way, that word has a bent, a tendency toward God. It's a divine word. It cannot help what species it is. It's connected to something of deity. And when you're born again, you go through an experience of discovering that word, you have a portion of that word in you. You're part of this word. You were also in the beginning with God. And when the word comes to you, you have an automatic, this birth brings an automatic change in your direction in life, and you become a person who is toward God. And at the same time, with God. And it really is, this word, pros, means that there's really nothing between you and this other. Isn't that wonderful? It can be used in a sense of being face to face with somebody. It's so amazing. And it really does develop the thought of relationship, because God's whole purpose for his word was to have a word family. Because he's the word. And a word family is going to connect, because it's word. It's just like, dogs can communicate with each other, I guess, somehow. Cats communicate with each other. Animals can communicate with each other. Humans communicate with each other. Who does God get to communicate with? You get the picture now. It's all about being able to connect. So what I'm driving at, and what I want you to catch, is even though this idea of toward is really stressing the idea of destiny and all that, it's really not just destiny, but relationship, and relationship is developed in the journey. When a man finds a woman, he falls in love, she falls in love, and they get married, they come together, they get married. They're not getting married, say, to hope and say, okay, now that we're married, I can't wait to get old with you. I can't wait. I want to get old. No, you want to do the whole journey thing. Amen. Don't you? Does it make sense? I know it's in the wedding vows. Well, I can't wait to get old with you. It's going to be, yeah. That's going to happen. You can't help that. But the journey part, buying a house together, planting a garden together if you want to do that, or going on hikes together, starting a family together, going shopping together, all that stuff you want to do together, companionship. It's all about the journey. The destiny is going to be there. But fulfillment isn't really going to come when you hit the destiny. When we get to see Jesus in the air and we embrace him, or crawl up to his feet and throw a crown, that's not when you're going to say, oh, now I feel fulfilled. You need to feel fulfilled now, today. Yes. And every day you get to experience more fulfillment, more and more and more. Not just waiting, going through life empty. Oh, I can't wait to see you, Jesus. I'm just dragging. No, you are walking with Jesus now. This same Jesus that you walk with, who's in you, you're going to meet face to face. Hallelujah. It's the same. That's what God is trying to get us to do. This is what our Lord Jesus is. In fact, this is why he sent a messenger to us in this last day, to get us into a place where we acknowledge, where we actually realize, recognize the unrecognized presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst right now today. He's right here, Brother Mark. See, in this message, see, we're stuck with the past, because where's someone like Brother Branham? He's gone. Oh, no, he was such a great man. What a ministry. Yes, I know. Hallelujah. But why are we stuck in the past? And then we're stuck in the future. Oh, I can't wait to see Jesus. Eh? Some people are waiting to see Brother Branham. They want to see him more than Jesus. I do too. But, I mean, we're not supposed to be in limbo, in no man's land, stuck in the past, stuck in the future. We're supposed to live today. That's the third pole. It's present tense. Immediately, he said, let the cancer that's in my wife right now, size of a grapefruit, disappear. Let there be a squirrel. Let this fish live. Let these two snickering boys give their heart to the Lord. Fall down on their face right then. Boom, done. Nothing about past, present. It's now. It's now. It's happening today. That's where your authority is. That's where your power is. That's where the Holy Spirit is living. He's waiting for you to live with him. He's there now. He's not going to give you a bunch of revelation. This is the thing that people get in trouble in this message as I wind this down. They're stuck on, I have revelation. I know what's going to happen in a millennium and the Great Tribulation. And we have all this revelation, all this knowledge of what's going to happen and all what happened in the past. And that's all great. We should learn our lessons from that, but we shouldn't be stuck there. Where's your revelation of what's going on right now? And it isn't really that important if you know what's going on in the world. Do you know what's going on in your world? Amen. You're what it's all about. Amen. It's not about Donald Trump. It's not about Merkel. I'd change my name if I was her. It's not about the stuff happening in the world right now. Do you know what's going on right now? All that matters is Christ is in bride form right now. If you knew that Jesus physically, corporally was on earth right now in Hartford, wouldn't we all just jump in our cars and head up there? Wouldn't we do that? Wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you say, and then you'd call all your friends illegally, you're not supposed to drive in, whatever, and say, you got to get to Hartford. Jesus is there for real. It's the real thing. Whatever. I mean, you would do that. And he's sitting right next to you. We don't enjoy the moment. Just do it. And I promise you, when two men were walking to Emmaus, when they got away from just talking about the past, that's what Jesus does. When he comes present, the Bible says, when he comes present, he brings you to the present. They were just blabbering and blubbering about the past and talking about the failed future. And he got them to slow down enough to watch the bread being broken. Can you just see the bread right now just snapping and popping? Jesus did it a certain way. I don't know how he did it, but he did it a certain way. It would be like a round piece. That's how they made it. Just ripping it apart and just see the little cloud of bread powder going up. Unleavened bread. Breaks another piece. And they start realizing, looking through this bread, there's this face of the unrecognized man. The resurrected Jesus was no longer looking 50 like the Bible says. He's looking 20. So that's why they didn't recognize him. But then they realized, but that's how he always broke and blessed the bread. That's him. That's him. And when the seals were being ripped off in 1963, the real true bride started realizing, that's the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He's come back to be in a bride form. Isn't that wonderful? I'm excited to see what Jesus wants to do tonight. How many here would like him to do something special? Let's just bow our heads for just a moment and ask him to come. Lord, I believe you were here in the worship, coming even closer in the preaching of the word. And finally, Lord, we expect you to do even more so in this altar time of the service, where it becomes practical, where it goes into action. Lord, it's like worship, word, and manifestation, just God above us, God with us, and God in us. Lord, I know there's some here struggling with life from the past, and I'm praying right now that this word will just get so, so sown deep into their soul, their prepared heart, and watered by the water of your word, that just bring it to life, Lord. That it just brings them present, present, present. Not worried about what didn't happen in life and what did happen, but happy about what's going on. Not stressed out about what's coming up and what might not happen, but just embracing today, because I get to breathe. My heart's beating. I'm healthy. I'm living. I'm alive. Now, there might be some here, Lord, that are hurting physically. Maybe they have some sickness they're dealing with. And I pray, Lord Jesus, you're standing here among us right now, sometimes standing in the shadows because we don't recognize you. But I pray, Lord, step out of the shadows into the light, and may you touch each body that needs healing, each mind, each soul, each spirit. Touch and bring healing, Father, we pray. Because we love you so much, Lord, and how you gave yourself for us. You took our journey to Calvary's Hill so we could take your journey to Zion's Hill. We want to take this journey that you've given us. What a grace that you've given us this journey we get to walk. Not our journey we deserve, but a journey of grace and glory and happiness. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for all of us who are in you, Lord Jesus. Bless and heal and sanctify all of us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Oh, what a beautiful Jesus we have. You're my King. All together. All together. Wonderful to me. World, you're so down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. How many want your eyes open? Yes. Deed that made this heart to adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Each day, each moment. Amen. Or when you worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together, we're lovely. All together, worthy. All together, wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it is to see my sins upon that cross. Sing it again. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. But here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my King and God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful, too wonderful me. Yes, do you love him with all your heart? Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Lord. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Do you know number 52? I don't know if your songbook's the same as this one. I could sing of your love forever. How many could do that? Let's just, each moment, just embrace it. Enjoy it. And in that moment, you'd shut out the past. You shut out the future. You can shut out everything going on around you. And there's a little bit deeper part of living in the present tense, in the moment. But I don't want to, it's a little more algebra. I don't want to get into it tonight. Maybe the next time. I told you this was a series on living fully. How many wants to live fully? Start with that. Just start with a simple little lesson of something you can do every single day, every single day. When you're having a conversation with if your child or your friend or your husband or wife is talking to you and you know you've got stuff to do, you can tell, right? When you're talking to somebody, they're looking left, they're looking right. If you feel yourself doing that, stop yourself. Focus on the person talking. Look them in the eye and just enjoy everything about them, all their quirks, all their things that make you laugh, things that are make you happy, everything about them. Just enjoy. Embrace that moment. Embrace that moment. And just listen. Can you do that? Let's put it to work. I'm telling you, you'll find out. You'll start feeling more fulfilled, more excited, enjoying life. You'll be more thankful. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing this one. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in this truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. Yes, I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Lord Jesus, I could sing of your love forever. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I'll always sing of when your love comes down. I will sing of your love forever. Amen. I will sing of your love forever. Hallelujah. Yes, I would sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I will sing of your love. Think about that love of his. Yes, I could think of your love forever. I could think of your love forever. I could think of your love forever. Father, as we go, you're going to be with us, Lord. We just thank you for that. We thank you for the love of God that surrounds us, hedges us in, protects us. Lord, love drives away all fear, all stress, all worry, oh God. We can't add another inch to our height. We cannot add a change in the number of hairs on our heads. Lord, there's nothing we can do. That's in your control realm. We can't control the past. We can't control the future. But Lord, we're under the authority of control in the present. In the present, Lord, we're completely in your hands, yes. Completely in your control. And we thank you, Lord, for the present tense power of your presence, your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Looking forward to seeing you. Don't forget now, we have Brother up in Massachusetts, Brother David Cumbo has got meetings up there that we're going to be wanting to participate in. So that's not this Saturday, but next Saturday. I'd like for all of you to go, and I think if we don't have the information, I don't know if we put it up on the, it's not there yet? Okay, I'll get him to send it out here. I thought he was sending it to our, but he might have sent it to my email instead. I never saw it, but it might be on my other church email and didn't go to this one. Murphy Wong is coming in next Wednesday, so keep that in mind. So Brother Murphy Wong next Wednesday, let everybody know, we're going to get everybody in here. And then he's heading up there because he's going to be there for the weekend. So Brother Murphy Wong and Brother Dodd, it's Dodd, right? Tim Dodd? He's going to be preaching, and so that's Saturday, and also Sunday. So some of you are going to go for Sunday as well. It's just two services Saturday, two on Sunday. So it's a long weekend, but we're going to try and be there for both Saturday services, and then we'll see how it goes for Sunday. Somebody said, are you canceling, or are you still having service? So I don't know what we're doing right now as far as that goes. I think we're still going to have Sunday morning service, and then whoever wants to go for the afternoon will head on up there. So that's the way it's looking right now. Two services on Saturday and two on Sunday, but we may have hours here, and then whoever would like to go for the afternoon will head up there. Amen? I think I covered everything. All right, well, praise the Lord. God bless you till we meet again. Amen.